All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. And I do want to apologize for those that have the notes. And if you don't have notes, by the way, just raise your hand and the ushers will get those notes to you so you can follow along. But I forgot to change, and I noticed it a little bit late after I'd already printed them, that I forgot to change the passage in the beginning of the notes. It has Isaiah, the passage from the last, from 2 weeks ago. So I do apologize for that. You can just go into your Bibles then in Acts chapter 6 and follow along that way. I do want to remind you that we do have the notes also on our church app. All right, you can get it on the iTunes store, the Google Play store, and you download it there. And there's actually a free Bible through the app, and you could also follow along through today's message that way. And as we're turning there, I do want to thank John, and I know I didn't do that in the beginning, but I do want to thank John for preaching in my absence. In fact, he preached both the English and Spanish services. He preached three different times, and I appreciate him doing that and being a blessing and being used last week by God to give God's people his word. So I do want to thank him for that. Acts chapter number 6, we'll be reading verses 1 through 7, verses 1 through 7 of Acts chapter number 6. It says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we would give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for allowing us once again to be here. We thank you for your word, because we know that in it we find truth, absolute truth, Father. And we praise you today because you are a God of truth. Now we ask, as we get into your word today, that we would be challenged by your word, that your spirit would now take control of me as the preacher this morning, that what is preached this morning would be your truth, that if there's anything in this message that you would have me to leave out, because it would not be what would be edifying to your people, I pray that you would allow me to not speak it. I want to speak only what your spirit commands me to speak. I pray that you would be with the hearts of those that will be hearing this message, Father, that you would speak to them in a real and in a special way, and that they'd be willing to not only be hearers of your word, but doers also. I pray that we would be challenged today in this area of service, and that we would serve you more in this year than we did last, that we would draw closer to you in this year than we did last. And we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Well, this morning I want to talk a little bit on the subject of seeking to serve, of seeking to serve. Now, before I get right into this passage in Acts chapter 6, I do want to just take some time at the beginning of this message to explain a little bit about today's special day, if you will, all right? We have today, as this Sunday, chosen to make it Sign Up Sunday or Ministry Involvement Sunday. And it's a Sunday where we do our best as a church to get as many members involved into our ministry and into the local church as possible. And so I want to talk a little bit about the ministries that we have here in our church. And so the first ministry that I would like to talk about is the education ministry. Now, this ministry that we have of the education ministry involves various different subcategories, if you will. The first one that involves is the Sunday school ministry. And each Sunday after the morning service, in the English, at least in the English services, after, we have classes that we all divide into, and we divide these classes by ages and or by grades. And we use these classes as a time where we can fellowship with one another, get to know one another. And then we have a time of study together where we study maybe a specific topic of the Bible and something that will apply a little bit more directly into our lives and how we can see God use some of those studies in our lives to really draw closer to Him, to make the Word of God as practical as we can in our life. But the education ministry and the Sunday school ministry has that goal, to take a time of growth. And so when we sign up for this ministry this morning, isn't really, we're not signing up to be a part of the Sunday school class. You can go to any Sunday school class anytime you would like, and that is absolutely something that you do not have to sign up for. It's just something we invite everyone to stay for and be a part of. But what we are signing up for today as members of the church, and you must be a member to sign up in these ministries, is to be a part of the Sunday school ministry by being either a Sunday school teacher or a Sunday school helper. And the Sunday school teachers range from all kinds. We have classes from 2-year-olds all the way up to 102 years old, okay? And so to sign up as a Sunday school teacher would be to sign up with one of those classes. And as you'll come to the table and you'll see the ministries, each table has a ministry sign-up sheet. And you can go up to that table, and you'll see it's divided. If you want to be a teacher for one of the elementary Sunday school classes, you can sign up for that, or one of the high school classes, you can sign up for that, or one of the adult classes. You can sign up for that and be a part of it. Or if you'd like to be a helper, perhaps you say, well, I don't know that I can teach a class, but I know how to work a copy machine, and I know how to use crayons, and I know how to connect with kids, and I'd like to help. I can't really teach the class, but I'd like to help in a class, and you can do that. So I would encourage you to look into the ministry of the education ministry of Sunday school. Another area that it covers is children's church. Now, that is the second hour for the children's ministry, this children's Sunday school classes that we have. There are 2 hours for fifth grade and under that we have here at church. Sixth grade and up will come to either the English service or they'll come to the Spanish service, which is after this service. They'll do that, but fifth grade and under does not. Fifth grade and under stays in classes. So we call that first class at 9:30 Sunday school. And the second class, we call it children's church. And that's it's a little bit of a different format in that second hour. Usually there's some snacks and a little bit more games and a little bit more of a service feel to it. But you can also sign up for that. And perhaps that's something that you could be a blessing and be a part of in this local church, being a part of that children's church as a teacher or as a helper. Functions, like I said, much like the Sunday school hour. It's just the second hour of classes for those kids. Another area that it involves is the youth ministry, and perhaps you've had perhaps a desire, or perhaps God is speaking to you about being connected in our youth ministry or being a part of our youth ministry, then I would encourage you to sign up for it. In our youth ministry, we try to have our services every Wednesday of the year, or as many as we can, and it starts usually at 6:30 at night and ends around 8 o'clock at night. But part of that youth ministry is really connecting with youth. This is tomorrow's church, is a youth ministry. And so we do our best to try to give the Word of God, teach the Word of God every week to our teenagers and challenge them in an area in their life that they can apply God's Word and hopefully begin to make decisions that will take them into a life that is closer to God and a life that is blessed by God. And so if you had a desire to be part of the youth ministry, please go to the table where the education ministry is at and sign up there. And I'm sure we can find a spot there in the youth ministry where you can be a blessing and be a part of it. Another area that education goes with is Route 66. And that's also on Wednesday nights. And it's specifically for kids sixth grade and under, I believe. Sixth grade and under. And it's an awesome ministry. In fact, it's only about 3 years old. We did for many years, more than 10 years, we did a program called Kids for Truth. And about 3 years ago, we changed to a program that was actually made by Brother Jim and his wife, Sarai, to sort of fit our needs a little bit better here in our local church. And it's called Route 66, and it's a great program. It's also on Wednesday nights at 6:30, and that's usually where all the kids students go. And if you'd like to be a part of that and being a part of a class that's going to influence kids' lives. And I know many in our youth group went through the Kids for Truth program, and they can tell you how much scripture they learned and how much they learned about God through those programs. And Route 66 is much the same. You'll learn, they learn Bible verses, they learn Bible songs, they do biblical activities, and they do Bible games and Bible trivia, and it's just a blessing to be part of a ministry like that. And so I do want to encourage you, if you'd like to be part of that ministry, Route 66, go to the education ministry table and sign up for that, and I'm sure we'll find a place there where you can get plugged in and serve God in that area. Another ministry, and also the Vacation Bible School, thank you, I almost forgot. We do these every 2 years. This year we have Vacation Bible School, and if you'd like to be part of that vacation, it's just 1 week. We have classes. We try to do as much outreach that we can to the community, to the kids of our community, to the kids of our church, and it's always really, really fun. It's always a huge event. I want to say we have like 40 workers or so, maybe, more or less, something like that, to 60. And Brother Jim and Sadi also run that ministry. And so it's a big deal. It's a big event. But it's always, always awesome. And so I want to encourage you, if you'd like to be a part of that, sign up for the Vacation Bible School Ministry. You'll really enjoy that. You'll really enjoy the activity, the impact that you can make in other people's lives. Also, we have the media ministry, and the media ministry really is more in charge of the audio and the visual and the presentations. Well, I guess you can go to the next one. It entails audio for sure, and that's getting the microphones to work, getting the each service recorded correctly. And so if you have no knowledge of that, but you'd like to learn and be a part of that, we actually are going to have training classes for all of them. We're going to have workshops for every one of our ministries that we offer here at the church. And so if you have any inkling or desire to help in the audio ministry and that media ministry, it deals with the audio, please, please sign up for that. It also deals with the visual, which is the PowerPoints and things like that that we do. And it also deals with presentations and website. The website, we have our website, ministeriosbetania.com. Com is the name of the website. And so those that are connected with the media ministry help us in each and every one of those areas to be as effective as we can. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, I want to encourage you, as long as you're a member of the church and you're old enough to be able to do one of these ministries, then please, please sign up. Media ministry is a great, great ministry to get plugged into, and it helps us to get the gospel proclaimed every week here at our church. And then another ministry that we have is the evangelism ministry. And this entails, first of all, I believe the door-to-door visitation. And we're going to be having a kickoff next month on our door-to-door visitation. And it's going to be quite a kickoff. We're really excited about what God's going to do this year through our evangelism ministry as we endeavor to try to reach more and more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So one of the ways that we do that, one of the ways that we evangelize, or one of the ways that we proclaim that gospel and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, is through our door-to-door visitation. And so there's an opportunity there that you can do that. In fact, this is one of those ministries, and this is one of the areas where you can get involved as a family. And I don't know any better way to spend your time sometimes as a family than going out and just sharing the gospel with others. And I know I go with my little son who's 2 and a half, Elijah, and whenever I go with him, people are always much more open to talk and to not close the door so quickly. They usually just want to talk to him and hang out with him, but they always give me an opportunity to share a little bit about who we are as a church, but also to share the gospel with them. And so it's a great, great ministry to get involved as a family and to be a part of that. The evangelism ministry also entails the discipleship ministry. And this is where we get new believers and we try to go through a curriculum with them with the basic truths of the Christian life. And we try to give them the tools that they need on the Christian life, on what it means, for instance, to be a Christian, and what the Bible, who wrote the Bible, what the Bible is all about, and how to pray and what prayer is. And we speak a lot about the local church and why the church exists. We talk about why we are Baptists, and we have a lot of basic truths that we talk about in this discipleship program. And if you'd like to be a part of that, we'd very much encourage you to sign up for that. The evangelism also entails driving for the routes. And perhaps you're one that says, I don't know that I can disciple somebody one-on-one, and I'm a little bit shy about things like that, but I have a driver's license and I can drive. If you have a driver's license and you can drive, then you can be a part of this ministry, and you can really be a blessing by going and picking people up and bringing them to church. We call them routes. We have two routes of vans that go and pick people up, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that if you can. It's a great way to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a way that we help the community around us that perhaps don't have rides, and there are some that are single moms that don't have vehicles or not have something readily available for them to bring their family. This is a way that we do that. This is the way we provide transportation for them. And so you can be a blessing, and you can do what Jesus said, go to the highways and byways and bring them in, bring them into this banquet hall. And really, and this is a place, this church is a place where we try to feed everyone that comes with the Word of God. And so we try our best to bring as many as we can through the driving of the routes. And so if you have a license and you can do that, here's a ministry you can get plugged into really, really well. Another ministry that you can get plugged into is the Connections Ministry, okay? The Connections Ministry. In Spanish, we call it social ministry, I guess, but we've decided to call it the Connections Ministry in English. And this entails different areas as well. It entails a benevolence. Whenever someone has a loved one that passes away here from the church, we do our best to give them food and try to be a blessing, meet any of the needs that they have that way. In fact, recently we had some last month, and we were able to help them have some chairs and some tables since they had extended family coming in, and we were able to provide some meals for them. And so the Benevolence Ministry is a ministry where we try to do that for those that are hurting, those that are in a time of sorrow. And by the way, the Bible speaks of a time of sorrow. We all go through times of sorrow. And so we ought to be a blessing for someone when we're not going through that time of sorrow. We ought to be a blessing for someone that is. And so the Benevolence area of that Connections Ministry is a way to connect with those that are sorrowful and trying to be a blessing for them. The other area is church social events, and we try our best to have different social events throughout the year. One of our bigger ones is our 4th of July celebration, and we'll have hot dogs and hamburgers and chips and things like that. When you have quite a big membership, we need a lot that can help serve. And in fact, Jesus said he came to this earth not to be served, but to serve. And so this is a ministry where you can get connected into helping and serving in those big church social events like the 4th of July, like Thanksgiving, and even in our family retreats. Sometimes we have great big potluck lunches that we have and provide. And so we need those that would serve and help in that, setting up tables, setting up chairs, being ready to serve the food and getting the plates and the drinks ready. And it entails a really, really big part of that ministry. And so I'd encourage you, if you can be a part of that, be a part of that. It also entails church fundraisers. And we have church fundraisers throughout the year for sending our teens and our kids to camp. We have big plate sales. Sometimes we do fundraisers for a special project here at church. And so this ministry involves that. And so if you sign up for it, you're signing up to be a part of something that is greater than yourself. It's greater than just what you can get, but what you can do for others. And so we want you to encourage you, or I want to encourage you, to be a part of that ministry if you are able to. Another ministry here is First Impressions Ministry, all right? Our First Impressions Ministry, and someone has said you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And so our First Impressions really ministry has to do with, first of all, our landscaping, and that's all the grass and everything that's around, the flowers and the plants and trees that you see around our property. Someone's got to do the landscaping there. Someone's got to help with those kinds of things, because as people drive in, that's the first thing you notice. You'll notice that the landscaping, you'll notice if weeds are growing or if everything is chaotic in the landscaping, it's not a good impression. It doesn't show that we're really serious about what we're doing. And here at church, we're really serious about worshiping God. We're really serious about serving our God, because He is the only true God, by the way. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that has a lot to do with it. And so we want to do our best for Him. So it entails landscaping, keeping His house clean. It also entails maintenance. When there's lights that need to be changed or things in the building that need to be done maintenance-wise, this ministry really does that. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you that maybe have some skill in that and doing maintenance and things like that, sign up for this. And it also entails special projects. In fact, you'll find as you walk out today, on the pergola, they did it yesterday. They put a nice screen on top, just to provide a little bit more shade there in the under the pergola, and it looks pretty awesome. So when you go out today after the service, you'll notice it there. But that was done by the First Impressions Ministry, and it was a great project to do. And you'll notice different things will happen. The first thing I noticed when I pulled back onto the church property coming back from Nicaragua was the new paint job. And I know that it didn't just happen overnight. It's not something that that somebody just wishes and it appears. No, someone has to come and paint, and someone has to do that work. And those that are part of the First Connections Ministry were part of that. And it was awesome. I don't know how many of you were very impressed with it. I was super impressed with it. I think it looks like a new building. It looks exciting. And it looks like a place I want to go to church to. And so First Impressions Ministry involves those things. And so if you have any desire, if you can use a shovel, if you can use a rake, then you can be part of this ministry. And you can be a blessing in your local church and get involved in the church and the work of God. Then we have the grace ministry, is what I called it in English. In Spanish, I believe they call it the service ministry. But I call it the grace ministry because you need God's grace to be in this ministry. It involves the nurseries, all right? And this is obviously only for ladies to work in the nurseries. We have two nurseries, one that is for 3 to 12 months old babies, and the other one is 12 to 24 month old babies. And let me just say, it is not easy, okay? It is not easy to go. There have been times where I've walked by and I just thank God that I don't have to be in that ministry. It is tough, but let me just say, ladies that help in that, you make a bigger impact than you'll ever know, because you allow visitors to come and hear the word of God uninterrupted. They don't have to be worrying about their kids jumping, moving around, or anything like that. And I don't know. I've never been to heaven yet, but I know we're going to go that way. We're on our way. And the Bible says that there are rewards for serving Him. And I believe that there are some very big rewards for ladies that help in that ministry. It's not an easy ministry. It's never fun to take care. Listen, it's hard enough to take care of your own baby. I imagine it's 10 times harder to take care of someone else's baby. And so, but what you do is that you provide a great environment for the service here, where we can preach the word of God uninterrupted. And I appreciate that ministry, and I would encourage all the ladies to be a part of that. Another part that is the grace ministry is showing grace to those that are coming in, and that's the ushers do that. You'll notice as you walk in, usually the ushers are there to shake hands, to give bulletins, to give the notes for the service, and try to maintain some sort of order in the service. If something needs to happen right away, something needs to be dealt with during the service, the ushers help us in that. And I want to encourage you men to do that. This is a men's ministry where they, as men, we can get involved in doing this. And I want to encourage you men to do just that. It's not a very difficult ministry. All you have to be able to do basically is smile like this and then shake people's hands and say, I'm glad you're here. And can I get you a bulletin? Do you need a bulletin? It's very, very simple, but it's a way to serve God in the local church. And I want to encourage you men to sign up for that. Every man in here is, I believe, able to be an usher and able to help in the service here to go smoothly and to run, and so the preacher has the liberty to share the Word of God. So that grace ministry involves that. Then there's the worship ministry, and this involves different areas. It's going to involve, first of all, groups, I believe, the musical specials, if you'd like to sing specials. And most services, we have specials. And by the way, be praying for Brother Josue, who's still traveling on the road. We are so thankful that Amanda Schufelt is here, and she plays the piano unbelievably beautiful. But if you'd like to be part of either playing a special, maybe during the offering, or playing a special, or singing a special during the services, sign up for this ministry. If God's given you a voice and that you can use to sing and praise His name, then we want you to be a part of that. And so you'll go to the worship ministry table. You can be part of the music specials. You can be part of music groups. There are groups that we're starting. We have, of course, already in existence our church choir, and you can be a part of that, and they sing every Sunday in the Spanish services, and hopefully by the end of this year we'll have some in the English services, so you can be part of that as well. But there's also the rondalla, which is, by the way, rondalla is where I learned to play guitar. The little bit of guitar that I know, I learned to play there, and so it's a great ministry if you'd like to learn an instrument, and I think we all should try our best to learn any instrument that we can, but it's a great way to sing and praise God. I know with our children at home, because I learned a little bit of the guitar there, we get to sing right before we do the devotionals. We sing together. Not that you can't sing without a guitar. You can, but it makes it a whole lot easier to drown out some of the keys that are not hitting exactly right when you're singing. But it's a great way to do that with your family, and it's a great ministry, a great group to join, and they sing specials at our conferences and throughout the year in our services. And then the orchestra is another part that is makes up the worship ministry, and I would invite those that can play an instrument like a violin or cello or anything like that, trombone, trumpet, anything that would be an orchestra instrument, please join, sign up for that ministry and be a part of every week making wonderful music to the Lord, because the fact of the matter is that the world always has its people that want to start their bands, and you can go to any Walmart store and you can look in their CD section and you can find all kinds of bands and all kinds of music, but it's very, very difficult many times to find music that glorifies God on those same shelves, and it ought not to be that way in our churches. Okay, our church should be a place where we can come and praise God with music that honors and glorifies and uplifts His name. And so that's what we try to do through our music ministry, and that's what it entails. And if you'd like to be a part of that worship ministry, please sign up at that table. One more that I forgot to put a slide or a PowerPoint for, and it's the last ministry, and it's Brother Schufelt's ministry to the juveniles there at Evans Juvenile Center. That's here in Edinburgh, Texas. Every week we try to have as many as that we can to go into that juvenile center and share the gospel with. These are young men that are from 13 to 18 years of age who are doing time. They are criminals, young people that have made very wrong and bad decisions in their life, and they need someone to give them some hope. They need to hear a message that can transform their lives, and that's the message of Jesus Christ. And so in this ministry, you're able to go into that juvenile center, into that prison. You can go one by one and visit sometimes some of the inmates by themselves, and then you also have an opportunity to go into a dorm where all the kids are, and it's a voluntary thing. You just go in there, you shake hands and tell them, hey, I'm going to do a lesson really quick, and a Bible lesson if y'all like to join, and many of them do like to join, and they like to hear the Word of God and be challenged that way, and it's just a great, great, great ministry. And so I want to encourage any that would like to be a part of that, especially you college students, be a part of something that helps our society. And I know our government thinks that it's the answer to all of society's problems, but we know that's not true. We know that the Bible is the answer to all of society's problems. And if someone's going to reach those kids, it ought to be us. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of that ministry and be a part of getting plugged in and helping our teenagers of our society to turn back to God and to get a life that would honor and please our God. And so those are the ministries that we have. have that you can sign up to this morning and be a part of and get involved in your local church. By the way, this church, the church that God established, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said that the church was his bride. It is something that's very important to God. It is, the Bible says, his bride, that for which he gave his life for. Church isn't just something that we just do on Sundays to check off a religious activity. But church is something that God established for you and I to experience growth in our Christian life. And it's something that God has established that you and I can get connected and fellowship with one another and love one another and provide for one another. And it's the mechanism that God has used to reach our world with the message of Jesus Christ. So seeing how important the church is, it's even more important then that you get involved in it, that you make it part of your life, part of what makes you do what you do and makes you have the decisions that you make. And so I want to encourage you today, if you are a member of this church, sign up, get involved in one of these ministries. And if you're here this morning, you're not a member, but you say, I'd like to become a member. This seems like a church that would be what I would like to be a part of. Then you can talk to some of these ministry leaders and just see if there's any questions that you might have of that. And then you can talk to me about how to become a member of this church. But we're just excited, and I'm excited about this Sunday because it's the church coming alive. It's the church putting into practice what we teach and putting into practice what we know the Bible teaches us to do. Now, if you go to Acts chapter number 6, and I won't be long, there's only about 5 or 6 more minutes in this service. In Acts chapter number 6, we learn a few things about the church here of the first century. This first church that was established by God and by those disciples that God had trained while he was here, that Christ trained as he was here on the earth. And I want to just say this as I start out in this message, that God is a worker. God is a worker. The Bible teaches us that in 6 days, God created all things. All of our universe, God created that. He created all that we see, and we are to follow God's example in working. God has never been a lazy God. God is not a slothful God. In fact, I heard about these employees in Detroit. They were employees of a Detroit business office, and they found this following important notice on the bulletin board as they walked into work one time. It said, "The management regrets that it has come to their attention that workers dying on the job are failing to fall down. Now, this practice must stop as it becomes impossible to distinguish between death and the natural movement of the staff. Any employee found dead in an upright position will be dropped from the payroll." Listen, God does not want you and I to come to church and to just stay there like dead men. God does not want us to come and just sort of receive the blessings of others' work. He wants us to be a part of that work. God wants us to get connected into his church and into his work. Now, in Acts chapter 6, you'll find that it hasn't been too many days since the day of Pentecost, since the day that the Holy Spirit was given to those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And we find now as they begin to gather together, as they this church is born, as this church is growing, we find that that the Holy Spirit begins to move on those believers, to begin to work in the things that God has called them to do and God has taught them to do. In fact, we find on that first day, on the day of Pentecost, that 3,000 were saved and baptized in just that one day. We find that God can do very great things for those that are willing to just serve him, those that are willing to give themselves to his work. And we find that there was a right spirit and there was a right attitude in those in that first church, in that first century church, that church in Jerusalem. We see that everybody was looking on the needs of others, trying to provide what they can for others there in the church, for those that were around them. They tried to provide the love that they needed, and they tried to provide the physical needs that they might have. And we find them that they're there to try to provide what they can. They are there to work. But then in chapter number 6, as you begin to read chapter number 6, you find that circumstances had begun to change. We find that, as in any growing church, we find that there are circumstances and things that begin to change how they were doing. They begin to see that the work was a little bit bigger than what they could do. And so they had to make a decision that Luke tells us about here in this chapter. They had to make a decision of how they're going to accomplish that work. We know that God has called us to do this work, but how are we going to do it? It seems like there's more work than what we are able to do. And so they come up with what they're going to do to solve this problem. And the way and what they came up to do, the way they came up to solve this problem is to get others involved. D.L. Moody said this. He said, "It's better to get 10 men to do the work than for one person to do the work of 10 men." And really, getting part of the local church is saying, listen, we can do more if we work together. Being a part of and getting involved in the local church is recognizing, look, God can do more if we all work together than only if only one or two of us work. God can do more if we all come together. So there's three truths real quick that I want to share with you in your notes about how they got the work done here in Acts chapter number 6. Number one, I want you to notice the reasons for increased work. In verse number 1, it says, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied," we find that the problem that they were facing was explosive growth. They had multiplied. God had added to the church. If you look in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, I think this is in your notes, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. We find in Acts chapter 2 on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and filled those men, and Peter gets up there and he begins to preach, and 3,000 souls get saved and baptized just in that day of preaching alone. We find that after that, God begins to add to those believers and to that church such as should be added. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 4, it says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and their number of them was about 5,000. Now we see even more growth. And then in Acts chapter 5, the chapter before the one we are studying, we find that it says in verse 14, "And the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." We find that God kept adding and adding and adding to that church. But in chapter 6, we find that they were multiplied. It went from addition to multiplication. We see that God began to work in his church and through the work of those 11 apostles to the point where it wasn't just addition anymore, but it was multiplication. We saw that there was some explosive growth there, but then we also see that there are some increasing problems. And every time there is growth, there's always going to be problems. Okay, there's not always terrible problems, but they're difficult problems nonetheless that need to be overcome. For instance, a church that is growing, you'll find, is always in constant change. You'll find that they're always going to have to be tearing down walls or making new buildings or creating more space for the people that God is bringing into the church. And you're going to have a time of transition, if you will, where you're going to have to work a little bit harder and do a little bit more and give a little bit more. And that creates problems sometimes because sometimes you don't have all the room that you wish you had. And you have to do something about that. And you have to work and find a way and a system that will help you to reach and minister to more people, even though you don't have all the space that you want. And in this chapter 6, the problem they were finding was that there was a lot of widows in that church that needed help, and there was just more need than there was help. There was more people that saw what was going on, and the disciples recognized, hey, there's a lot here that we cannot do. And because of what we are doing, if I begin to get involved in that ministry, I'm gonna have to take away time. There's only 24 hours in my day, and the apostles begin to recognize, listen, we need to be passionate. We need to take time in our life to be in our prayer life. We need to take time to study the Word of God, that we can be ready every Sunday to give you what the Word of God says, and we need to be ready to really minister to you in that way. But, they said, but these other things need to be done as well. And so we find that because of the explosive growth that God had brought and because of the increasing problems that were coming into the church, that they were going to have to come up with a way to work. And their solution was involving others. So we see the reasons for that work, but then we see the requirements to get involved in the work. The requirements that were to those that were going to get involved in work. I want you to notice that they did not just let anybody just sign up. They didn't just say, well, if you just got good talent, you can come up and sign up. They didn't just say, well, if you've got a lot of money, if you're financially successful, then you can be a part of this, come up and sign up.
No, you'll find that their requirements were a little bit deeper than that. You see in verse number 3 that they said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men," he says, first of all, "of honest report." That is a good witness. Someone that has a good testimony. We must maintain the right testimony if we're going to serve God. You can't live one way on Sunday morning and live a totally different way Monday through Saturday. You can't live for God one day of the week and live for the devil the other 6 days of the week. God says you ought to have a right testimony. We must remain faithful to the cause of Christ. I like what Matthew 5:14 says. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." James said it this way. He said, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." James said this, listen, there ought to be a different kind of life if you have been transformed. If you have Jesus as your Savior, you ought not live like the world lives. John said, "Love not the world and the things that are in the world." He said, there ought to be a different desire. There ought to be a different motivation. There ought to be a different purpose. You ought to be a different person if you are a Christian. And so the disciples said, listen, remember, when you look for someone that's going to serve, when you look at someone that's going to get involved, make sure, listen, you have to have a right testimony. Just encourage you today, if you're going to sign up for one of these ministries, can I encourage you, have a right testimony. Be sure that who you are here at church is who you are at work. Be sure that who you are here at church is who you are at home. Be sure you are a Christian through and through. And then we see not only a good witness, but a godly walk. We must have a devotional life. We must have a dedicated life. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." It's not just good enough to be have the right appearance. That's important. But you have to have a right walk. The Bible says In First Samuel, God said unto Samuel, he said, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." Now, they're both important. Somebody's looking at both. Man is looking at the outside. God is looking at the inside, and they're both very important. That's why we have to have a right testimony. That is our outward appearance to men, that we could be a light unto men, that we are the light of the world. But then you have to have a godly walk. That's a right devotional life with God. You ought to be growing. That word there that he uses in verse 3, where he says, not only honest report, but full of the Holy Ghost, that has the idea there of being controlled by the Holy Spirit, being filled, having the matureness as a Christian to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And then we see thirdly there in your notes, a gifted way. Not only a godly walk, but a gifted way. In other words, we must use our talents, we must use our spiritual gifts that God has given us to get involved in the work. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that when we got saved, God gave us a spiritual gift, something that was unique to you. There are some gifts there listed, and you'll find as you get involved in the church here, as you begin to grow in your spiritual life, you'll begin to identify those spiritual gifts for which God has given you so that you can serve Him. He's not given to you. Listen, the church in Corinth, they saw their spiritual gifts, and they thought it was all about them. They thought, oh, this is so I can shine, so they can see how great of a Christian I am, so they can see how talented I am, so they can see all of my abilities. And Paul said, that's not why God gave you those gifts. He gave it to you so you could connect, so you could work for the furtherance of God's kingdom, so you can get in your church and get involved in reaching more people. So we see in this passage not only the reasons for why they were going to get people involved and why to get connected. We see the requirements of those that were going to get connected. But thirdly, we see the rewards of doing God's work. We find in verse number 7 that first of all, God's word was magnified. We must always look to uplift the word of God. Luke 4:4, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." We find that the word of God should be the priority in our life. It should be the purpose of our life. It's what leads and guides us in our life. And we find that when we serve God, when we get involved in the work of God, that his word is always going to be magnified. Those that get involved in God's work always notice the importance of the Word of God in their life. And then I want you to notice that God's people were multiplied. It says, "And the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied." We must always look to give that Word of God to others. Acts 9:31, "They had the churches rest, and then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee, or Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. We find as those that got involved in chapter 6 to get involved in the work of God, we find that later by chapter 9, now these churches are getting multiplied. Not just to the church, but now they're going out and planting churches. Now they're going out and doing the work of God. Can I encourage you this morning, get plugged in to this local church. Get plugged in to serving God. The question this morning is not, is there work to be done at Bethany Baptist Church? That is not the question. The question is, will you be a part of the work at Bethany Baptist Church? I want to encourage you this morning, be a part of that work. Let God use you in this local church. Let God use you to reach those that we could not reach on our own. We can always do more if we work together. This morning, there's an opportunity to do that. I do want to say in closing that if you are here this morning and you're saying, man, I'd like to be a part of that church. Man, I'd like to be a part of something bigger than me. But you've never made that decision to make Jesus your all, to make Jesus your Savior. And I say that this morning, that's the first decision you got to make. Before you can get involved in God's work, you got to be part of God's family. And you say, how do I do that? The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. God says, all you have to do is receive me as your Savior. It is a free gift. See, the Bible teaches that you and I are all, we are born in sin. We are sinners, and there's a payment for that sin. The Bible says the payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I say this morning that you can make of Jesus your Savior. You can have him forgive you of your sin. You can have him to be the Savior of your life and to be the one who forgives you and makes you part of the family of God. Then as part of that family of God, you can get plugged in to doing the work of God. I encourage you this morning, make of God the work of your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for the truth that we find in it. I thank you for this church that we can model ourselves after, and the encouragement that we find in being part of a local church where we can serve you, where we can do the work that you have called us to do. I pray that this morning, as we take time to sign up, as we take time to be a part of your church, that we would not, Father, be negligent in it, that we would not be lazy or slothful about it, but that, Father, we would take time to get plugged in, to get involved in this church, that at the end we may hear from you that one special day in that moment where you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I pray that you would use each member that is willing to live a life that is well-pleasing unto you, every member that is here that can get plugged in and use what you've given them for your honor and glory, that they would do that even this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.